Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Let's get social. Connect with me at Bible Study Evangelista on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and now you can also find me on the number one Catholic app for iPhone and Android, Laudate. Let's connect. And now, let's get some Bible study in your pocket.
Did you know you can get Bible Study Evangelista radio notes and podcasts delivered to your inbox every Monday morning? Redeem your Mondays. Join thousands of your fellow listeners by subscribing at BibleStudyEvangelista.com. Now, here's Sonia.
This is our second show in our 12 Angry Men series. Today we'll be talking about Esau. Next week we'll be talking about Moses. And before we jump in, I want to shout out my newest friends of the show, Ann S., Diana C., Linda S., Tracy LaPie, Christina Carr, Tammy T., Christina Cav, Esther A., Helen B., and Don W. Thank you for loving and lifting me.
If you like having Bible study in your pocket and you have an iPhone or iPad, why not leave a review? Search Bible Study Evangelista in iTunes and tell everyone how you're loving and lifting all you've been given. Here's Sonia.
Welcome to Evangelista Bible Study. I'm Sonia Corbett, your host, the Bible Study Evangelista. We're in our series on anger, and we've already covered Cain, and we're going to see a parallelism in this next character, we'll call him, that we're going to study today. We're looking at Esau, and I'm titling the episode here, The Meek Will Inherit the Earth. But Esau carries forward the theme of the two brothers. We started that theme with Cain and Abel, and it continues throughout the Bible. And part of the reoccurrence in that theme is that very often, although in the Semitic cultures, even now, the firstborn son was the most favored. And yet, God continues several times to choose the younger over the older. And so that's what we're looking at with Esau. Esau was actually angry for a very good reason, we'll see. And we're in actually Genesis chapter 25. And as I said, this continues the theme of the two sons. And you'll be able to see what I mean. I'm in chapter 25, verse 21 is where I'll begin. Now, Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife. And because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her. So she had twins, okay? And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins, and the first came out red, and he was like a hairy garment all over, so they called his name Esau. The name Esau in Hebrew sounds like the word for hairy in Hebrew. So after Esau, his brother came out, and his hand took a hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. And his name, it can sort of mean two things. One is deceiver, and the other is supplanter. And the word supplanter actually implies deceit in some way. So it's interesting that the names of the boys actually sort of give us an idea of what's going to happen. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Now this was Isaac, remember, Abraham was the father of the Hebrews, we'll say. And Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Esau and Jacob. And so we see that here we have these two boys of Isaac's, and there is a favoritism among the parents. So that started the whole thing. And then we have this story. It skips ahead to this kind of strange story. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with some of that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom, meaning red. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me?" And then Jacob said, "Swear to me of this day." And he swore. And he sold his birthright to Jacob, and Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, this is really interesting for several reasons. First of all, we need to kind of get some context. One of them is that, what is this birthright, and what's the big deal about it? The birthright, first of all, was religious in nature. Because it came through the line of Abraham and Isaac, this birthright had the promises of Abraham and Isaac attached to it. And so when Esau despised, it said, his birthright, it basically means that he gave no thought to the spiritual inheritance that blessing and that promise entailed. And so the wording actually means that he just disregarded it. It wasn't important to him. And so he was willing to sell it to his brother, who was apparently opportunistic. And the birthright, though, was a very important thing, not only for the fact that the spiritual promises were attached to it, but also because there were material advantages. So the birthright always went to the oldest son, and that was just it's actually common even now, sometimes, especially like in England, some of those cultures, where they want to keep the property of the family in the family for as long as possible, so they will it to the oldest child, the oldest son, usually. But in that case, the blessings of this birthright would have been both material and spiritual. And it was really important because God had given the promise to Abraham and confirmed it several times. And eventually, the Messiah, the Savior of God's people, would come through that land. So it was a very important promise, this birthright. And it also, as I said, entailed some material blessings. So that was because the oldest son would later on inherit from his father, and when his father died, he would take over the tribe. And so this birthright idea is a huge theme of the Old Testament, and it carries actually forward, we'll see later on in the episode, through some different scriptures, that it applies to us as well. And that's really part of what we're looking at here. But Esau despised his birthright, and so he was willing to sell it because it wasn't important to him. It implies that he was completely irreligious whatsoever. And it's really sad, actually, if you think about it, because he was basically comfort-seeking. He sold this really important birthright, which included a blessing, we'll see later, and he was willing to do so for just a pot of stew. He was hungry. And as I said, Jacob was opportunistic, and so he jumps in when he can. So the birthright was important. Also, the swearing was very important. In the Old Testament, you don't swear an oath and then take it back. And even in the New Testament, I mean, God says, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no," Jesus said. And so you don't promise something and then, "Oh, well, I changed my mind." So for him to swear an oath, that was actually a covenant. It's the seven word. And sevening is the word for covenant. That's why God created the earth in 7 days, and then he rested on the eighth, because he was covenanting himself to all that he had created. And so a swear, then, is the same word as a covenant. And so this oath that he swore, it should have been a self-donation. But what it ended up being was it ended up being a real self-donation, but probably not the way Esau intended. But to swear an oath was not reversible. Because when you do something like that in the Old Testament, God is your witness, and God upholds the swear or the oath because it is actually hinged on his integrity. So for him to swear that oath, he was not swearing it necessarily to Jacob, although that's what he thought. Esau was actually swearing to God. And that's why it was so important that it could not be reversed. The birthright was gone, and Esau just didn't know it yet. So the swearing is important, the birthright is important, and so is despising this birthright, because it implies, as I said, that Esau was irreligious. And we see that as the story kind of moves forward, and even the ancestry moves forward, the line of Esau later became what was known as the Edomites. And they lived on the opposite side of the Jordan River, and they occupied a lot of the desert areas. And they were, in several particular instances throughout the history of God's people, the Israelites, the Edomites were, they were enemies of God. And this is actually really cool, because it carries forward this idea of the younger being served by the older, because not only did Jacob not get the blessing and the birthright because he sold it at that time, but later on, the Edomites were going to try to prevent God's people from entering the promised land because they had to go through Edom in order to get there, and the Edomites wouldn't let them. And so later on, this kind of feud sort of continues on through the history of God's people. In fact, in Amos chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword, and he cast off all pity. His anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah." Now, that's kind of a prophetic way of saying that the Edomites would be judged by God because of their role in trying to stand between God's people and the promise, right? And that's exactly what Esau does originally in the story. He actually tries to stand between Jacob and the birthright, the blessing. We don't see that actually until later on in the story, which we'll pick up in a moment. But I want to head over to Hebrews chapter 12, because we get a little more detail in the New Testament about what actually happened and why he did not relent. God did not relent after the birthright was sold for that pot of stew. So in we'll start with 16. Look carefully, lest anyone fall short like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Now it sounds a little bit confusing, but what really happened then, we see in the book of Hebrews, the author of the book of Hebrews says, is that although Esau later even cried because the blessing and the birthright were gone, he wasn't really repentant. We do this all the time. We repent only so much as we incur the consequences of our actions. And that's sort of what he did. He was sorry at the moment, but it didn't change his heart toward God and faith. And because of that, it was a false repentance. Even though he cried, he wasn't really repentant. And that happens to us a lot. We don't change our ways, even though we really dislike the consequences of our actions sometimes. So we can see there then that he was rejected. Why? Because he had no faith. He had no faith in that birthright. He had no faith in the promise of God. He had no faith in the swear that he swore in selling the birthright to his brother. He had no faith, period. And that was why there was no place for repentance, where the scripture says that he was rejected. It was because he had no faith. And so the contrast then is between Esau, who was faithless, and Jacob, who was faithful eventually. However, Jacob had his own problems. And so we see back in Genesis I'm not going to actually read all of the story because it takes a long time to do that. So if you find yourself in this sort of situation, what you want to do is read the paragraph and the chapter headings, and that way you'll get just an idea of what's going on in the flow of the story without having to read every single word. So I'm going to skip ahead through chapter 26, and I'm going to head to chapter 27. And now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here am I." Then he said, "Behold, now I'm old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now, remember that Isaac loved Esau because of the game that he killed and made food, venison. He made food with it that Isaac loved. And so Isaac preferred Esau to Jacob because of that. And so here he asks him to fix him a meal, and he does. Now, Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, saying, 'Bring me game and make me savory food, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food for them, for your father, such as he loves. And then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." Now remember, that's what Jacob's name means. Maybe I will seem to be a deceiver to my father, and then he will curse me rather than bless me. But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son." And he went and got the kids and brought them to his mother, and she made savory food such that Isaac loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and she put them on Jacob, her son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands, on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And so he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said, "I'm Esau, your firstborn." So he lies. He's deceiving according to his name. And Jacob said, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise and sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." And Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether or not you really are Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy, like his brother Esau's hands, and so he blessed him. And then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." So he lies again. He's not just deceiving, he's lying to his dad, and he's in cahoots with his mother, Rebekah, to do so. He said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you." And so he brought it near him, and he ate, and then he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing. And he blessed him and said, now listen to this blessing, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, your brother, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." And now as it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from hunting. He also had made savory food, and brought it to his father, and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." And Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" And so he said, "I'm your son, your firstborn Esau." And then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him. And indeed he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, bless me also, O my father. And so Esau then, the prophecy, which sort of was intimated in the beginning of the story, both through their births, through their names, through the fact that Jacob grasped at Esau's heel, all of those things intimated what had just happened. Jacob was sold the birthright from Esau, and Esau was presumptuous in doing so. He despised that birthright, and he wanted the blessing anyway and expected to get it, and probably would have, except that God he allowed this deceit to occur. Why? Because later, Jacob's heart would be completely changed, and he would get even a new name to signify that change. And so he would become not a deceiver, but a prince with God. God changes his name later. And so what God knew then, even in the womb, is that Jacob would rule over his brother through all kinds of deception to begin with, but ultimately it would be the will of God. Why? Because Jacob had faith and Esau did not. And so we see through the story that although he tried to receive the blessing from his father, God held the promise and the swear. He held it up and did not allow Esau to receive that blessing, which went with the birthright. And so eventually, through this deceit, although it was not a good method, it worked out the way God intended all along, as we can see actually through those names. And so he said, Isaac, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And remember, that's what his name means, deceiver or supplanter. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? See, so he almost mocks his brother through his name. For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he's taken away my blessing. But see, that wasn't what happened. What happened was that Esau sold it out of comfort seeking, simply for a pot of stew. So he didn't steal Esau's blessing. Esau sold the blessing, and with the blessing, or the birthright, came the blessing. And God upheld that swear. And so he said to his father, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And so now he's grasping. He's starting to feel the consequences, the full weight of the consequences of his actions many, many days before, and probably even maybe a year or two. And then Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do for you now, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, father? Bless me also. Oh, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be made of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, and then I will kill my brother Jacob. So Esau then he's starting to feel the full weight of the presumption of selling his birthright for that simple bowl of soup. And the lesson, part of the lesson for us here is we have to be careful about this comfort seeking, because we don't always know what the consequences of our sin are going to be. What about things like addiction, where we're seeking that comfort, or I mean all kinds of addictions, but it can be anything like that. But for a moment of comfort seeking, or many moments, then we have perpetuated a consequence that we never intended or even could have imagined in a lot of cases. And so Esau, though, we can see, although he cried, as the book of Hebrews says, although he cried, he was not actually repentant, meaning it didn't change his heart toward faith in in Abraham and Isaac's God, and in that promise, and in that birthright, and in that inheritance. So the birthright, as I said, was meant to go to the firstborn, but Esau sold it, and even through their birth and their time in the womb and their naming, we can see that was going to happen. And this carries over the theme, as I said, of the younger being the master over the older. So because the blessing went with the birthright then, and all that Jacob received in his blessing, when it talks about the dew of heaven, it actually means that's God's presence later on in the scriptures. So how does any of this even apply to us? What do we have to really watch for? What is Esau trying to teach us? Well, part of it is we also have an inheritance. We have a blessing and an inheritance. What do I mean? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son of love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things exist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all in all things He may have preeminence. We too, because of Christ, who is the firstborn, who won the inheritance and the blessing for us in His death and resurrection, because of that inheritance and promise, we also have access to heaven. We get to be with God. And that is our promise. That is our birthright. That is our inheritance, the forgiveness of sins and the blessedness of beatitude. And what Esau shows us is we need to be very careful that comfort seeking does not lead us to forfeit the birthright and inheritance. We don't want to forfeit our souls because we are out presuming to seek comfort in people and things rather than God, and in so doing, we could forfeit our entire eternal life, and we don't want to do that. So that's what Esau teaches us. And he was angry. He was enraged with his brother. And so we got to be careful that when the consequences of our sin find us out and catch up with us, that we lean into that and allow God to do the work of purification and cleansing and redemption so that we can inherit that promise that Christ has won for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sonia created the Love the Word Bible study method just for you, based on Mary's personal practice and formulated for your personality and temperament. Get your Love the Word meditations every Monday morning by signing up at BibleStudyEvangelista.com. Now, here's Sonia. If you love having Bible study in your pocket, you can become a friend of the show. Click on the yellow Friend of the Show button on BibleStudyEvangelista.com and become a supporter of any amount and any frequency.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Study Evangelista Show. Find out more at BibleStudyEvangelista.com.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of my podcasts here at Breadbox Media. But today I'm speaking to you about a different opportunity. In September 2020, I'll be leading a fantastic pilgrimage cruise from Rome to the Holy Land, and then on the way back, stopping at the cities of St. Paul, Ephesus, Athens, Corinth, and more. While we're at sea, I'll be lecturing on the Gospels, history or mystery. When we're on land, I'll invite you to join me as we visit all of the holy sites, celebrating Mass, worshiping together, and having a wonderful time of fellowship. If you'd like to know more about this pilgrimage cruise, go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com. Go to the right sidebar, and you'll see a picture there, which invites you to get more information. Go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, right sidebar, click on the picture of the cruise ship, and you'll get all the information you need. Alternatively, you can call the company that's organizing the tour at 800-247-0017. 800-247-0017. Ask for Farmer Long and Eckers, Cruise to the Holy Land. Thanks for listening.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.